Well, folks, just in the time that we have, let me encourage you to turn to this passage that we read from 1 Samuel chapter 16. And we've really just we're really just getting going on this study through these evenings and in the winter months on the life of David. As I've said to you before, in the preaching of the Word of God, you always try to seek and find maybe what a key theme is that's coming through in a particular passage. A few weeks ago, we looked at the first part of 1 Samuel 16, and it wasn't very hard to find the key theme. Verse 7 there, 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, the key theme, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks upon the heart. And that's a very big principle, and we looked at that and how that principle is opened up through the whole of the Scriptures and indeed lies at the very heart of what Christianity is all about. And tonight, as we consider the rest of this chapter, as we really get into thinking about the life of David, I suggest to you that the theme is the continued description of the demise of Saul in contrast to the rise of David. And I suppose if you look at verses 13 and 14, there is a very stark contrast. Let me just remind you of those two verses right at the heart of this passage. Verse 13, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. And Samuel then went to Ramah. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. It's a very stark contrast. And let me just maybe before I get into the heart of this, make a couple of wee comments there about that verse 14. That's a verse, one of those difficult texts in the Scripture. And I think this text, it's not referring to a person's salvation. That's not the theme of this whole passage. And when it speaks there, the evil spirit, you don't have to actually read that in the sense of morally evil. The word can also speak about that which gives pain and misery and distress and difficult things. And this is what's coming upon Saul. Saul has moved away from the Lord. He has disobeyed the Lord. And we're told here that an evil spirit from the Lord, and you say, well, how can that happen? Well, where else would the spirit come from? God is sovereign over all things. But remember that God is not the author of evil. So whatever this was that was happening with Saul, it's a picture of Saul moving to a place of distress and sadness and troubles and problems. And this becomes apparent in this passage. But under God, the whole thrust of the passage is, as I say, a contrast between the demise of Saul, the first king of Israel, and the rise of this young David, who would be the second king. So it's a picture here of Saul, if you like, losing his powers, losing a grip, I think, of his emotional and mental state, becoming emotionally unsteady, we could say. And who is it that's brought into the situation to try and bring some ease? Well, it's none other than David, upon whom the Spirit of the Lord rests. And that's really, in many ways, the theme that I want to build on this evening, that whenever the Spirit of God is upon a person, whenever the Spirit of God is upon a man or a woman or a young person, then there's certain things going to be happening. And that's really what I just want to open up this evening, just in the limited time that I have. I've entitled it, David Anointed and Used of God. And there's three things. Surprise, surprise. The first thing is this, that whenever someone is touched of God and moved of God and the Spirit of God comes upon that person, God's hand is seen. Verses 15 through to 18. So here's the situation. Saul is troubled and he's in distress, and he sends out a message. Is there someone out there that can help? He feels that he will get some solace from someone who can play a musical instrument, in this case the harp. And the message goes out and the search goes out, and young David is found. Verse 18 is significant. One of the servants answered, "I've seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. He's a brave man, a warrior. He speaks well, is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him." The Lord is with him. That's a very significant phrase. You find it not only there in verse 18, but if you glance over, or you can do it some other time, but take note in chapter 18, in verse 12, and in verse 14, and in verse 28, the same thing comes out. It says repeatedly, the Lord is with David. The Lord is with David. The Lord is with David. And this phrase, it's used of others in the Bible. We don't have to go into that now. But Saul's attendants recognized that there was something in the life of this young man. Think about this. Lovely thought here. Where is he? Well, he's out still tending the sheep. He's a farmer. The world might ignore him. His brothers had ignored him. But God's hand is on him. And God's Spirit is upon him. And God lifts this young man from working on the farm to do other things. And that's what God does. So tonight you might be saying, well, God couldn't really use me. I'm just this. I'm just that. I'm just a young lad. I'm just a young girl. I'm just whatever. Don't say that. God takes people. And whenever the Spirit of God is upon a man or a woman, then all of those other things become irrelevant. I wonder, these people saw the hand of God upon David. Let me ask you this question. Do people say of you, the Lord is with him? The Lord is with her. God's hand is upon them. At school, at home, at work, do people recognize something of God's hand upon your life? Or do they just see you as someone who goes to church for an hour every weekend and then you just do your own thing? It's so easy to do that. That's not Christianity. That's not what God calls us to. He calls us to something much deeper. Another little example I think of, and I could dwell on this, but I don't have the time. Young people, think of young Daniel, the age just of some of you, when he and his friends were taken to a very different place. And yet their young lives of integrity shone out because God's hand was upon them. Young person, have it in your heart tonight. Older person, have it in your heart tonight that the Spirit of God would be so upon you that his hand would be seen in your life tomorrow morning, through this week, wherever you are. And when the Spirit of God is upon a man or a woman, not only God's hand is seen, but God's leading is obeyed. Because we read this in verses 19 and 20. Look at what it says. Saul sends the messengers out, and Jesse hears this, and David is brought to Saul. Verse 20, David came to Saul. Now, we take that for granted. And yet, I wonder, think about this. I wonder what young David thought about this situation. We don't actually know. I wonder what he had made of what had happened not that long ago, where the prophet Samuel had taken him and anointed him with oil. An amazing thing. I wonder what he thought about all of that. We're not sure. We're not told exactly. And it may not have been entirely straightforward for young David to go to Saul. But he obeyed. That's the point. He obeyed. And when the Spirit of God is on someone, this is the point. They obey. And we're told here that David came to Saul. No matter what the obstacles, no matter what the questions may have been in his head, and I'm sure there were questions, and maybe there were a few strange looks from his brothers. You see, when the Spirit is on someone, they obey. Even when things aren't entirely clear, they obey the leading of the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, then you will obey my commandments. And that the heart of Christianity, at the heart of true Christian religion, is a love relationship with God and with Jesus. Wasn't this at the heart of Saul's demise? He was the opposite from David. He tended to do his own thing. He disobeyed. But here we see David obeying. Maybe you're struggling tonight with the leading of the Lord, uncertain and fearful of what it may lead to. Maybe you feel tonight that you have a choice. You can continue to struggle, or you can yield to the leading of God. You may not feel very comfortable about that. You may have questions. But here's the point. I suspect it wasn't entirely comfortable for young David. But God's hand was upon him. And in obedience, he followed. David could have stayed out in the field. But how could he resist the king? You can continue where you're at. But how can you resist the Spirit of the King of Kings who calls? So when the Spirit is upon a person, God's hand is seen in their life. And oh, how we long to see that. When the Spirit of God is upon a person, then they obey the leading of God, and how we are called all to obey the leading of God, even when it's difficult, even when it's a bit uncomfortable, as it will be. And something else, when the Spirit of God is upon a person, God's gifts are used. We're told here how David comes, and Saul likes young David. That wasn't always going to be the case, but at this stage he likes David. And David plays, and Saul is helped. Whatever emotional, mental thing is happening in Saul's heart, the music helps him, as often it does. And we're told here in verse 23 that whenever the Spirit from God came upon Saul, David would take his harp and play, and then relief would come to Saul and he would feel better and the evil spirit would leave him. David was a man who was gifted of God. David arguably had very many gifts. But interestingly, at this point, one of his gifts was music. And music is a gift. Music can be a means of grace. And that's why in the Church of Jesus Christ, music and song are a really important part of our public worship. Of course, public worship is not just about music, nor is it just about a sermon, you may be surprised to hear a preacher say. All of these things are meant to come together, to complement one another, to bring us into an experience and a knowledge deeper of our God. And David here used his gift of music to great effect. And I don't have time to elaborate on this, but I just want to remind you of something. And because if you are a Christian tonight, remember this, that you have at least one gift given to you by God. You may have more than one gift. So please don't say, as sometimes people say, well, I couldn't really be used. I'm not really any use at doing that. If you're a believer, God has gifted you. Let me just remind you of a couple of things here in passing. Spiritual gifts, it's a massive subject, but I'm only touching on it because it sort of comes up in the subject. Spiritual gifts are from God, 1 Corinthians 12. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. So they're of God. Spiritual gifts are for the common good. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. In other words, it's not just for yourself. It's not just for your self-indulgence, but it's for the common good. And there's another principle. Spiritual gifts are for the building up of the church. Since you're eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. If we were preaching more on this theme, we could speak about some of those gifts and what they are. There's lots of gifts. You can read about them in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. Go to Romans chapter 12. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Lots of different gifts. Let me just mention some of them, not in any particular order. Well, alphabetical order. Administration, craftsmanship, communication, discernment, encouragement, evangelism, faith, giving, helping, hospitality, intercession, knowledge, leadership, mercy, proclamation, pastoring, teaching, wisdom. Did you know there were so many? But here's my question. Do you know what your gift is? Are you using your gift? Why is it that sometimes in churches that 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people? Why is it in churches that sometimes people say, oh, well, they'll do that, and they've been doing it for a mighty long time, and actually they need a little bit of help? And the truth of the matter is that sometimes people with gifts could be sitting in a pew, and I don't want to be too blunt about it, but really not doing very, very much. And God calls us. Do you remember the story of Jesus, the story of the talents, and the person who buried his talent? Do you remember the reception he got? It wasn't overly welcoming from the Lord. Why did you bury your talent? You should have used it. So let me encourage you tonight. There are always many areas within any church where we need help. And we need people to step up and use whatever gifts they have for the common good, for the building up of the church. And as I said just a couple of weeks ago, I'm led to believe that some people do read the bulletin. Some. You'll remember what I wrote a couple of weeks ago. I believe we're at a stage in our church, as I suspect is the case with many churches, where everybody needs to put their hand to the plough and do what they can. Because when everybody does that, and not just leaving it to the chosen few, when everybody does it, what a difference that makes. And maybe that's a wee word of encouragement for someone here tonight. And maybe you've become, dare I say, and I can understand this, a little bit weary in well-doing. And maybe tonight the Spirit of God touches your heart and says, you know what? Yes, maybe you are weary, and maybe you do need to just take a little bit of a rest, time out, but then come back refreshed to serve in his church. You see, whenever the Spirit of the Lord is upon a person, God's gifts are used. And that's why, and as I wrap this up tonight, that's the big theme. David was anointed and used of God. And whenever the Spirit of God is upon a man or a woman or a young person, whenever they have come to Jesus, whenever they have surrendered all to him, as Johnny was saying, whenever they have come and given all that they have and said, Lord, here am I, use me, the Spirit of God is able to really use them in wonderful, wonderful ways. I remember the words of the late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He said this, it's because Christians are not showing the power of this life in the Spirit that many are outside of the church today. And he went on to say, do you know anything of this fire? If you do not confess it to God and acknowledge it, repent him and ask him to send his Spirit and his love into you until you're melted and moved and filled with his love divine, and then to go out and to serve the Lord. It's amazing what can happen when the Spirit comes upon a person. And God took this sheep farmer, David, and raised him to be arguably one of the greatest kings of Israel. Who would have thought a young lad from Brackney ends up in Mexico? Who would have thought a farmer would end up king of Israel? But that's what happens when the Spirit of God is upon a person. Open up your heart to this, folks. Set aside lesser things and open up your heart to this. Cry unto God to fill you, and he will use you in wonderful ways. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the life of David, and we thank you more importantly than David for the Spirit of the living God and how he came upon that young man and used him in the service of the king. Lord, we pray that the same would happen for us. So, Lord, as we sing and then as we go our separate ways, go with us, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.